Welcome to another inspirational My Church podcast. We hope that this message will bless and encourage you. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, please visit livelove.ca.
What I want to do is talk today about a guy that you might not have heard before. His name is Tara, but you probably know his son, Abraham. And this is where we're going to pick up today. Is this guy. And there's actually not much that the Bible has to say about this guy. It's kind of just this small transitional statement. But this is what it says. If you're following along, you can go and take notes. But it's in Genesis 11, and it says this. It says, one day Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, and moved away to Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped in Haran and settled there. So now what happens after this is, the writer summarizes his whole life, and this is what he says, and this is all we really have on Terah. He says in verse 32, Terah lived 205 years and died while still in Haran. So probably, obviously, just from those couple statements, the most notable thing that we can pick up from this story, at least for the purposes of history, is who his son was, Abraham. If you don't know anything about Abraham, he is considered the father of the faith. He had this close covenant relationship with God, and so he was this incredibly important figure who ultimately established God's people, the nation of Israel. And so this is what it says about Abraham's life. So there's a whole lot of things that the Bible has to say about him. We're going to get into a bit of it in just a bit. But the writer, the same writer in Genesis, summarizes Abraham's life a bit differently. In Genesis 25, he summarizes Abraham's life and says, Abraham lived 175 years. He died at a ripe old age, having lived a long and satisfying life. So if you can picture this, there's these two guys. They had the same endpoint in life. They were both actually called towards Canaan. One guy made it there, the other one settled in a place called Haran. And these two differences in locations literally set their lives and the trajectory of their lives worlds apart. And the interesting thing that I find is that although Terah lived more days, the writer says, although Abraham lived less days, he lived more life. And so today, the title of my sermon today is More Life. Shout out to Drake. More Life. And so the question I want to pose is living less days, but living a more satisfying and full life, how do we do that today? God, we thank you for today. We're expecting to hear from you today. God, we love you. We love what you're about. We love that you love us, God. And I just pray today that we would connect with you in just such an incredible way. In Jesus' name, amen. I like to think, and I have said this before, you know, I'm pretty focused, pretty hardworking guy. I got some vision for my life. I've got a plan for my life. But one of the things that I've noticed is, you know, hearing Pastor Julie's sermon last week on eternity and stuff, it's like, there's places in my life where it's like you can have all of the vision in the world, you've got eternity in the balance, and you just come up to it and you just go, meh. I don't know if you've experienced that before. Maybe it's just me, but there's so many places in my life where I'm very quick to settle. Does anybody have? Turn to your neighbor. Now look at the other neighbor and be like, man, that guy settled hard. Like, no, don't actually do that. Don't actually, you're not going to make friends doing that. But we're quick sometimes to settle. I know for me, and I'm on a journey, but when it comes to fashion, sometimes I'll settle for it's clean. Some guys settle for it's not that dirty. And literally, I know sometimes Rebecca, she'll see me and just be like, try it again. Try again. This time, hopefully, you'll succeed. But I know for me even, sometimes I settled when it comes to devotional times, like connecting with God. I remember when I was younger, you know, you go to these youth conferences, and if you're not from church, then this won't mean much to you. It's okay, just bear with us. But, you know, going to youth conferences, and you're all amped up, and this speaker gets up, and he's screaming at people. He's like, you need to change. You're like, I need to change. Like, and it's like, and so you go the next day, and I remember being like, man, I need to do something. And at that time, Indescribable by Chris Tomlin. You remember that song? Indescribable, you put the stars in the sky. So I was like, oh man, he's talking about stars. I need to connect with God in nature. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to go on my bike. I'm going to go up to this hill, and I'm going to connect with God. So at this time, there were still MP3 players. That's how we listened to music. And so it wasn't like a Spotify playlist where it's like every third song, you're like, okay, yeah, that's a good song. This was like curated by heaven. I was ready. It climaxed on track 7. I was like, man, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to meet with God. And so this morning, I wake up. I bike up this hill, and I come to this wooded glen. And there's these picnic tables all over the place. I sit on one. I was like, man, I'm ready. The sun is just cresting over the trees. I was like, God is going to meet with me today. And so I sit down, and literally I'm on top of this picnic table, and just ants just start to swarm me. I'm like, okay, like greater is he who is in me. I'm like, okay, it's going to be all right. I just need to open up my Bible. And then literally a swarm of mosquitoes just like all over the place, biting me. I'm just like, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I switch it. I was like, man, I need to do something about it. I went straight to track 7. I was like, man, I need to connect. And it wasn't working. And literally, I gave God 5 minutes, and I was biking home. I was like, this is your fault. I mean, I tried. I did it. I showed up, and you didn't show off. But this is the thing, is we're so quick sometimes to settle. We're so quick to settle for less. Look at Terah's life. God has this plan for him. He's got this purpose. He's got this intended endpoint. And what was supposed to just be an episode in Terah's life became his endpoint. And he lives this life where he didn't just settle in Haran. He settled for Haran. It's interesting that Terah actually means delay. Haran means parched. I think that so often there's crossroads in the in-between. There's places in our lives where we pitch a tent of compromise in a place where God never intended us to stay. I wonder for you today, is there places where you've settled? Is there places where you've settled for less than God's best? I think there's 3 places we often settle. Sometimes we settle for people, for the relationships in our lives. Man, that's just how things have been. You know, I'm too old to maybe connect with my kids the way I'd like to. Man, I'm too far gone to connect with my spouse the way I want to, the way that my vows reflected. Maybe for you, it's just a friendship. And man, that friendship is just a little bit too far. So I'm just gonna settle. I wonder if you're settling today in your pursuits. I tried and I applied and I applied and I applied, and it just isn't coming together. So this is, it's not bad. It's good enough. I think we do this sometimes with church. Man, I was excited about this thing. I was doing this, and then all of a sudden things happen. Maybe there's a bit of leadership disappointment. Maybe things don't work out the way that you wanted to. And what you started with enthusiasm, you go, yeah, okay, well, I mean, there's family and there's work and there's all this stuff, and I'll cheer from a distance. And we settle for something less than God's best. And yet I look at Abraham's story, and he contrasts, the writer contrasts Abraham's life. And he says, well, this guy's life was literally canonized by a beginning point and an end point, just a certain number of life. This other guy, Abraham, he had more life. He lived this life of significance. He lived this life of impact. And I'm convinced it's because he lived a life where he was not willing to settle. But then this is the thing is, now, we have to ask ourselves the question, so what does that mean? Now, we could kind of direct this sermon at this point, and I could just try to get you amped up and go, hey, don't settle, keep going. And at some level, I think that's true. For some of you, you just need to work a little bit harder. You need to dig your heels in and just go, man, I'm gonna work through this. It literally even says in 1 Thessalonians 5, warn those who are lazy. Consider yourself warned. Like, there's an aspect to that. But I think that there's a deeper issue here. Because even think about your life. If not settling is really because of work ethic, what about all the places where you're super locked in? Maybe you're super locked in when it comes to church, but you're totally despondent when it comes to family. Well, obviously, based on that, you can work really hard. Maybe for you, you're really locked in when it comes to your career, but you're not locked in when it comes to church. So is this really about work ethic? I think Abraham's life shows us what it really means to live a life of no compromise. This is what it says in Hebrews 11. It says it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. Even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Abraham was continually looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. See, I think a lot of people think that we settle in life because of resistance. I think we settle in life because we fail to remember. I don't think that we settle in life because we're saying, it's too much work, it's too uncomfortable, it's too hard. I think we settle in life because it's a failure to believe that God is still saying there's something much better. That God is still saying there's something much greater. Consider it even when it comes to that job. I don't think the job that you've settled for is because you're not smart enough to get another job. Do you still believe that God's your provider? I wonder when it comes to your relationships, you know, maybe it isn't that that person can't change. Do you still believe that they have the potential when you married them? I wonder if church isn't really going to disrupt your life and throw everything out of order in your life, but really you might have just forgotten and you're not as convinced that this is part of God's rescue plan for Ottawa. See, I don't think we settle because of a lack of work ethic. I think we settle because we don't locate that place and remember what God has called us to. What defined Abraham's life? What gave Abraham more life, what made his life, the epitaph of his life, more than just a number, was the fact that Abraham had this unwavering commitment to the future. He was looking at something in the present, but he was looking at his future saying, no, there's something more. God's still up to something, and so I can't settle. See, when we live a life of faith, what we do is we say, man, God is more. There's something in the future, and I just can't settle for today. Abraham lived more life because he lived a life of faith. Listen to how the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 11 kind of summarizes this idea. He says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. More life. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Literally, what set him above the crowd, what gave him more life, what made his life memorable and meaningful was that he decided to live a life of faith. And so if I can encourage you today, this is my big idea, is that living more life is living a life of faith. And so I just want to encourage you, don't settle for something less than that. So if you're taking notes, write this down. We're going to spend the rest of our time just kind of exploring some ideas around this idea of not settling when it comes to faith. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't settle for what you know. Don't settle for what you know. So this is what it says in Hebrews. If we break this down again, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him as inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. That's a crazy thought when you really break that down. So think about this. This is a crossroads in his life. This is one of the greatest decisions that he's going to make in his life. This is life-altering. And so picture this. God shows up. He's like, here's a life-altering decision. Head in that general direction. We'll figure it out later. To me, that doesn't match. The immensity of that decision doesn't match God's direction. And I think so often in our lives, when we have these big kind of existential life decisions, is like, am I going to step out in faith? Am I going to trust God? We're expecting that there should be a whole wealth of information and knowledge and direction that God will give us. I mean, even think about like this story, and maybe even for you, you've been doing that. You know, you're not going to step out into that work thing until God writes it all through and tells you exactly what's going to happen. You know, you're not really going to put yourself out there. You're okay to just settle to keep the peace in your relationships because you're not really sure if God's going to give you the direction and bring you through it. You're not really sure when it comes to getting involved in building his house because you just don't know how it's going to happen. And yet, look at this. Why would God do this? We have to ask ourselves, why would he use this mechanism? I think even if you picture driving in a city that you don't know, which is, these days with a smartphone is impossible. So let's picture ourselves in the 1990s driving in a city that we don't know. So maybe you got the Chevrolet Lumina, I don't know what you're driving, maybe an Aerostar, whatever. Just push yourself there. Shout out to Aerostars. Put yourself there, and then you have a guide. Now, if you were driving through that city and you didn't know where you were going, firstly, the guide wouldn't give you everything because you wouldn't remember it. I think for a lot of you, God sees so much more potential in you than you even see in yourself. If he gave you the whole picture, you'd be so just taken back by it, you wouldn't even be able to start. That's a side point. See, this is the thing, is when you'd be talking to that guide, you would have to communicate with them, you would have to hear their voice, you would have to understand how they give direction, and I'm convinced that by the end of you getting to your destination, you would know your guide better than you'd know the city. See, maybe what God is doing is when he's not giving you direction, is actually he's trying to give you an invitation into getting to know who he is, getting to know his character, getting to know his goodness, getting to know his faithfulness. And actually, when he doesn't give you what you're looking for, he's saying, I want you to follow me. I want you to trust in me. Don't settle for what you know. And don't settle because it's uncomfortable. Listen to what it says. It says, even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith. He was like a foreigner living in tents. Have you ever gone somewhere and you like just don't know anybody? I remember early on in my career, I would go to these business networking events. And they were all super old people. Like it was in like the nuclear industry. So they were all like 50-year-old like physicists and stuff. And then there's me, like a 20-year-old something. And literally, my bosses would bring me into these things and then just be like, okay, like, go. Like, get away. We don't want to be around you. It was pretty sad. They were trying to get me comfortable talking to different people. But I don't know if you've ever been in a situation that you just feel out of your depth and you get hyper-aware of your body. Do you ever? And you're just sitting there and you start walking just like, you're like, whoa, like... And you start rhyming, like you talk to somebody, you're like, hello, Colin, it's today, how are you doing? Hey, May, it's like, whoa, what? Like, you do all these super weird things because generally speaking, we want to live comfortable lives. We want to be comfortable. We want to be around people that we trust. We want to be in situations that we know. We want to be around circumstances that feel familiar. And yet this is the thing. Is so often God's call will bring you into an uncomfortable place. Listen to where Abraham came from. It says this, Ur on the lower Euphrates River was a large population center. This is a commentarist who wrote about Abraham. He said, it's significant that the city of Ur reflects a long history preceding Abraham's time, possessing an elaborate system of education, educational facilities, mathematical calculations, business and religious records in the arts. This points to the fact that Ur may have been one of the largest and wealthiest cities in the Tigris-Euphrates area when Abraham emigrated northward to Haran. So he was literally coming from a place that was structured, where he knew what was up, and God is literally talking to him. He's living in Orange County in like Beverly Hills. He's like, hey man, I got a plan for you. He's like, awesome, where are we going? Bancroft. It's like, whoa, what? Like, oh, are you serious? Like, but this is what he was doing. He was bringing him... He was bringing him into a situation that was uncomfortable. This is what it says in 1 Peter 2. It says, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Pastor Julie talked about this idea last week of being a sojourner through the world. Is that we're part of this world, but we're actually not part of this world. Because eternity is built into our purpose. Eternity is embedded in who we are. And so although we're part of this world, we're actually not part of this world. And so that means a different response. And it means that sometimes things might not be comfortable. When has comfort, why is comfort the highest order in our lives? I think sometimes we work to be comfortable. You know, we don't have conversations that we need to have to keep the peace so we can be comfortable. But I think that there's something much greater than comfort, and that's conviction. And I think there's more people in this world who need to be chasing a conviction than chasing comfort. See, Jesus had a lot to say about this. In Luke 9, there was a guy, and he was talking to Jesus. He said, man, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus said, foxes have dens to live in, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus would make people uncomfortable, like just heads up. Like he'd be like, man, heal the sick. Everybody's like, yeah, amazing. It's like, you know, cast out like leprosy. Oh man, amazing. Free the captives, that's great. Okay, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Sorry, what? Like, he said some things that would make you uncomfortable. The calling on your life might make you uncomfortable. But this is the thing. Jesus didn't just say this to us. He did it himself. And he actually came when God could have looked at humanity and said, I don't want to be part of this mess. He came down in skin and bones and became a foreigner. He lived in tents. He went from place to place. And what he's asking you is to say in an imperfect way, just in the same way that I fought for you, the same way that I became a stranger for you, I'm calling you to not settle and be that for somebody else. Man, don't settle because it's uncomfortable. Man, I don't even know where I am. Don't settle because it's about you. Don't settle because it's about you and it's not about you. Genesis 12, this is what it says. God's talking to Abraham and he says, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. I love that thought. Being a blessing to others. I wonder if you really understand how much of a blessing you're called to be to the people around you. I wonder if you truly, truly believe that in this church you've been called here to be a blessing. That God hasn't just given you your skills and your talents. He hasn't wired you the way that he's wired you just for you. Although his calling is unique and it is about you, it's not about you. God's calling is contingent. He says, I want to bless you, but you're also going to be a blessing. And yet I think so often we can misplace this idea. You know, I was talking to a guy at Connect Unite, a guy in our church, and he's probably in his early 20s, and he was starting to tell me his story. And I've got a lot of respect for immigrants who have come to our country. And he was telling me a bit of his story. In their country, there was some war. And so his parents left. They went to a different country. They sent them to the States. And literally, they were trying to do school through States. They ran out of money in their first year. Their parents couldn't help them. They had to figure out how to come to Canada, claim refugee status. They spent 4 months in a shelter. And now they're actually back in school, paying their way through university. And one of them is just about to do their MCATs to become a doctor. This is my point. What motivates that? See, when there is family on the other side, the lengths that you will go, it's incredible. And this is the thing. There's actual family in the physical sense, but there's a family in the spiritual sense that's counting on your blessing. That's counting on what you'll bring to the table. That's counting on your skills. That's counting on your countenance. That's counting on your character. And I think sometimes we can look at that and just go, oh, yeah, like, nah, I'm good. They need you. There's brothers and sisters in the faith who need you. Don't settle. Don't settle to fill a seat. Don't settle to just be in body in a relationship but not be present. Don't settle to just go to your work. God has something more for you. So my final encouragement is don't settle because the best is yet to come. You know, life is not perfect. It's not always going to work out the way that you want it. And even Jesus says this. He says, look, it rains on the good and bad alike. Being a Christian doesn't hedge you from that. It doesn't give you insurance. It gives you the tools to deal with it, but it doesn't protect you from that. And yet I think what can happen is where there's fears, where there's failures and frustrations, we start to look at our lives and we start to shift the best day in our lives to somewhere in the past. Yeah, it was the best. Now I'm too old now, but man, when I was a youth, when I man, back in the 80s, back in the 70s, like, let me tell you, I was passionate. And we live this life doing a retrospective on what could have been, what should have been. Think about Abraham, though. This guy literally came into the promised land, and as soon as he was in it, he had to leave and run to Egypt. He was promised a whole nation, and yet he was too old to have kids. And yet it says in Hebrews that he had this audacity to hope for something in the future. He had the audacity to say, nah, I know who my God is. He had this audacity to say, I know what my situation looks like. I know that a lot of people would say that my best days are behind me. But there was something that welled in him that said, man, there's still a better day. The best is yet to come. And for you today, the best is yet to come. I don't care if you're 60. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're too young. I don't care if you're too old. It says in God's word that if we are breathing breath, that there is something on the other side.
Thank you for joining us today. To find out more about My Church, including locations and service times, visit our website. And if you'd like to support the ministry of My Church financially, you can do so by following the giving link at livelove.ca. Thank you for partnering with us. We pray this message has blessed and encouraged you.